Getting the shift is getting hotter out there. These weekends are cherished things, and there's a lot that's going on, but I still believe that God is on the throne, that he will provide in any season, in any time. And so I'm just so thankful to God that we have people in this house that love this ministry and love what we're doing in this community and will support accordingly. And so, Lord God, I just thank you and I honor you and I bless you. I thank you for these gifts that you are about to receive, Lord God. Lord God, I just pray right now that you encourage your people to be cheerful givers. We thank you, Lord God, and we honor you. We bless your holy name. Bless them now, some 30, some 60, even 100-fold. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have not been here for quite some time, and if you have not given, make sure that you do what you need to this weekend. You can look to the left and to the right and see that it's one of those weekends where attendance begins to fluctuate. For those of you that are online, make sure that you also see that accordingly. Don't give your least, give your best. If you can make up for the times that you've missed, please do so, because it's desperately needed. Amen. Amen. We don't want to be a begging church, but we will admonish you to give, because we can't do this by ourselves, and I can't do this by myself. I didn't get employed just to carry the church all by myself. I have the support of my own family. Amen. Amen. So that's what it's for. So let us all pitch in together, and let's make sure that we have the strongest summer that we can as possible. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and get a seed in your hand. And so those of you that are online, make sure that you sow as well. If you are watching, it's still just as good as being in the house of the Lord. Not better. It could be just as good, but not better. So make sure that you sow a seed through our website at www.divinetruthcc.org. Also, as a side announcement, don't forget that summer camp enrollment, you'll probably hear that announcement again, that summer camp enrollment is fastly filling up. Just like our daycare is fastly, that's not even a word. It's fasting, it's filling up quickly. There it is, fastly filling up. Lord have mercy, give me strength. All right, so it's filling up quickly. So don't drag your feet. Make sure that you go ahead and you register and get those things done, because summer cometh. Just like Game of Thrones, winter is coming. Winter is gone. They killed the man. Summer is coming. All right. So if people are like, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, just the Night King. All right. Anyway, summer is coming. So make sure you do that. Make sure that you don't get quiet during the summer. The same. Okay. I'm getting them to my message. Make sure that you continue to keep people abreast of what's going on in the ministry, and continue to invite them to the house of the Lord as well. Don't stop just saying, okay, some Easter is over with. You got to continue to invite. The same way that you did for Easter, use the same way that you have to do throughout the time. That's the only way that our ministry can grow. Amen. Amen. Be blessed, people of God.
Broken.
They want to keep singing.
I never been once again.
Hallelujah. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
We have our original, that was our original praise team. Amen. For so many years. Hallelujah. Our original praise team. The other part of our crew had a funeral this particular weekend that they had to be a part of. And so that's where they were at this particular weekend. But I'm so glad that God is in the midst of his people. Brother Al, he's like, you good? You ready to sing another? He's like, no. I appreciate that honesty. I appreciate that honesty. Amen. 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 Let us pray as they get things queued up in the back. Father, we thank you for this time. We honor you, Lord God, and we bless your holy name. We thank you for your kindness, your mercy, and your grace. We thank you for these, your people, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. This morning's scripture is going to come from out of 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. And if the screens are not working, just go ahead and blank it out. Thank you. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 1 through 8 says, "Then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said to him, 'There were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he had brought and nourished, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It ate of his own food and drank from his own cup and lay in his bosom. And it was like a daughter to him, something very close.'" If you need a Bible, it's in the back of your seat. I'm going to repeat that again. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 1 through 8, starting from verse 4. "And a traveler came to the rich man who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. So David's anger was greatly aroused against the man, and he said to Nathan, 'As the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die, and he shall restore fourfold for the lamb, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity.' Then Nathan said to David, 'You are the man.'" Ooh. "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, 'I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your keeping, and gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I would have also given you much more.'" Amen. Then the title of this morning's message is "Keep That Same Energy." Keep that same energy. Father, help me now. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. For as long as I can remember, people use certain catchphrases and describe how they are feeling, what they are going through, and even situations that are under their observation. The proper term for this is an idiom. Idiom, or in other words, slang, which has been used by people all over the world. For example, "That's my boo," or "That's bae," meaning boyfriend and girlfriend. You get where I'm going. "You're flogging." That's a down south term for perpetrating or being or acting like a person that you are not. "Nice feet." I'm not talking about toes, because, you know, people, toe ministry. What I'm talking about is rims. You know, back in the day they call it trues and vos, but that's like really old. How about this? A donk. That represents a car. Some of y'all admit something else, but I'm going to keep on going. that's lit, or Liddy, I think that's Sister Mara's word right there. Swag, drip, that's the new one. Sauce, the hostess with the mostest. Look at those threads. My mom said that last night about my son's clothing as he was getting ready to go to his eighth grade dance. And finally, the topic for today, keep that same energy, which really means have some integrity. Have some integrity. In the open passage, this was in David's mind as he was being questioned by the prophet Nathan. He was confronted by God through the prophet for his transgressions against Uriah that he kept in secret. Nathan began to tell us a story in the opening verses of scripture that he was giving an analogy of this person who had a ewe lamb that was very close to this particular farmer. And this particular farmer loved it so much and cherished it and took care of it until somebody, a wayfaring man, a stranger, popped up and basically took and stole it from him. That particular analogy, David thought was another person altogether. But then when Nathan said, "You are that man," then that's when the term began to change around. Because we're very good at having what I would call righteous indignation towards others when we see that they're doing wrong. But then when we find out that it's actually us, well, you need to keep that same energy. Ooh-wee. You see, people of God, his integrity was in question, and it led to his exposure and eventual chaos in his family. David was still king. He was still on the throne. He still was the ruler. He still was the husband of Bathsheba, so he got a chance to keep his wife. But he lost his firstborn child in that relationship as a result of his secrecy and as a result of his lack of integrity. He had children that grew up to be just like him that tried to usurp the throne. He had individuals that tried to kill him. There was Absalom, who we always talk about as the individual that's trying to take over in ministry. That was his child. And even in his old age, he had to fight after battle, after battle, after battle, because God said that you did not keep the same energy. People misinterpret the essence of integrity and character. They think it's about being perfect and never have any flaws. Have you ever done something and somebody starts holding you accountable and then you get upset when somebody holds you accountable? That's something that all of us have done because, you know, we just want to just act buck wild just for a quick second and be like the world and say, "Hey, guess what? You can't judge me." But people of God, I will tell you this. If you claim to be a Christian, you have to know that the standard applies to you from the Word of God. If your friend, if your co-workers, if the people that are around you are not Christians, then they do not have a standard that you need to push upon them. God will push his standard at the end of days when it comes to judgment. But for you, if you say that you love God and you say that you love people and you claim to be saved, then you should not get upset when accountability comes, regardless of who the vessel is. I mean, how are you to get any better? How can you get better? You can't get better just on your own because we grade ourselves on the bell curve. We let stuff slide. We are strong with certain sins, but in other sins, we're very weak. We're strong in certain areas, and we got it all together, and we know how to be disciplined in that area. But the areas that we're weak in, we have to have some kind of accountability. That's how we are to improve. You don't evolve as a human. You press towards the mark or the high calling that is Christ Jesus by having other vessels that are around you that are where you want to be. And you welcome that. Hallelujah. Where you want to be. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, if you're weak in one particular area and another person is strong in that area, that means that they could tell you something. Amen. Amen. If you know how to keep a marriage together, then that's what? That's the folk that you need to listen to. But they may be bad with money. So guess what? If they try to give you money advice, then you don't listen to that part, but you do listen to the part where it talks about how to keep a relationship going. See, even in my own relationship, there are certain things that I'm good at, and there's certain things that my wife is good at. I'm good at X, Y, and Z, and she may be good at A, B, and C. So if I have an issue with A, B, and C, then I'm going to go to her. If she has a problem with X, Y, and Z, then she's going to come to me. And that's how you balance each other out. You don't get mad because somebody said that you're not good at A, B, and C when you know that you're not. Just trying to help you. That's where improvement comes from. You cannot be good and you cannot have good accountability without being around people that will hold you accountable. Hold you accountable to integrity. Hold you accountable to discipline. Hold you accountable to you being on time in the workplace or even coming into the house of the Lord. Hold you accountable to giving properly when you can and not bringing, calamity to your own household like Ananias and Sapphira when they constantly said that we don't have enough to give you, but they had enough to give. And then they fell dead right there. And then people wonder why sometimes their jobs fall dead and careers fall dead and bills fall dead because they lie in the house of God. That's what keeping sane energy means. We see it today in the national discussion about abortion. We saw it years ago when it came to same-sex marriage. We saw it with the Iraq War. We saw it with Desert Storm and Desert Shield. The election results in 2000, hanging chads. We saw it this year with Russian so-called collusion with Donald Trump and our standard of faith in Jesus Christ. Keeping the same energy. If you say that you're going to do something, do it. And if somebody loves you enough to hold you accountable to that because you're not doing it, then you can't be like David and have unrighteous indignation. Because when it's you, O Lord, you need to stand in prayer. So what does this all mean? Well, number one, people are watching for consistency, even if they scorn you. Mm-hmm. In other words, integrity, people of God, is your protection. It is like covering your own assets. It's explained even more in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 through 17. You'll get it right here. It says, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners, travelers, and pilgrims." What that means as a quick little pin note right there is that the scripture is saying that we're sojourners and we're pilgrims in this life. Guess what? You will die one day. Guess what? All of the accolades, all of the money, all of the finances, all of the accoutrements and achievements that you have in this life, it will all come to an end. So, like Paul said, our lives are but a vapor, not like the vaping that the kids are doing, which is a high glorified way of smoking cigarettes that it'll kill them one day. I'm talking about the way that it shows up like a mist. And then it disappears very briefly. That's what our lives are like in the grand scheme of things. It's very quick. When I started this ministry, I was 34. Now I'm going to be 44. And it seems like it was just yesterday. So integrity is protection. Repeating, beloved, I beg you in verse 11, as sojourners and as pilgrims. Now you know what that means. Abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Having your conduct, watch this, here it is, honorable among the Gentiles, honorable among people that don't go to church. That when they speak against you as evildoers, saying that you don't need to have that same, that you don't need to be talking about same-sex marriage, and you don't need to be talking about a woman's right to choose, there's so many hypocrites in the church, and all of this, all of that, that they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. In other words, your conduct, if you keep the same energy, that is a good witness to them. But if you go around your own unsaved family members and then you start cussing, you start fussing. You start fighting because you're still trying to rekindle the old days because you didn't grow up in a nice household and now you're trying to bring everything back together. Guess what? They're still not saved. And you'll find out that they're not going to change, but you slowly are. So guess who's not the strong one? So by the way that you carry yourself, people who are not saved, they watch you very closely to see if you are really a Christian like you say that you are versus just an attendee. You know what people talk about when they talk about church hurt and church folk and hypocrisy? You know where they get that from? The person that possibly could be sitting next to you or you. Because you come and they know that you're here and they know that you're not somewhere else, and then when they come around you, then you act like them. That's why they won't come, because you don't keep the same energy. Sometimes that's the reason why it's hard to invite people to church. If it's not making a difference in your life, then why do I need to be there? A lot of people have a lot that's going on, and I'm not just saying that that's the main reason why people don't come. People don't come and everything is good and they have a great relationship with God. But for others, they say that I won't set foot in there because of those folk, those people. They're talking about us. They're talking about us. Verse 13 says, therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, for the praise of those who do good. What does that mean, Pastor Martin? I'd like to hear it. Here it goes. Guess what? As a Christian, guess you do have to pay your taxes and you do have to follow the laws of the land. It says give honor to the king as supreme. Not as in him being above God, but guess what? You can't just run 5 stoplights and then pray that God gets you out of it. Amen. You can't be late to your job 15 days in a row and still get a full paycheck. You can't spread out gossip all throughout the house of the Lord or with your coworkers and then expect everybody to come and tell you their secrets, because it'll backfire on you. You see what I'm saying? If you say that you support the community, you support your church, keep that same energy. Well, welcome to Divine Truth Christian Center with God. What's your dreams and visions? Realize, if you say to your pastor that you're going to be here next Sunday, do it. It's not for my benefit. It's for the body of Christ, because somebody may need you that weekend. I may not be able to talk to everybody, but you surely can. Verse 15 says, for this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using liberty, as a cloak for vice, but as bond servants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Let me break that down. Did you know that when you have integrity and when you keep that same energy, people leave you alone? I can't tell you how much trash talking that I see on Facebook about preachers and about the children of God, more so preachers. And then when a preacher actually comes in and says that they're doing what they say that they're doing, and other people testify to that, they'll just say, well, I haven't seen that. See, when you have integrity, it's like you becoming bulletproof. You're still going to get persecution. You're still going to get ignorance of foolish men. But this is not a license for you to just do whatever you want. Amen. Or for a cloak as a vice, or the cloak, or to hide the real you. No. It's actually saying, hey, be who you are. Do what you got to do, because you got people that are watching you. Yes, they're watching to see if you're going to fail as a Christian. Yes, they're going to watch to see if you're just going to go ahead and check out. Yes, they're going to see if your flaws are going to overcome you, because all of us got flaws. Flaws is a modern term for all of us sin. A lot of us are passive aggressive. When you don't really want to do something, sometimes you're slow. Slow to coming here. Slow to serve. Slow to give. You don't want to give off the impression, but just keep that same energy. Just don't come. Just don't give. That's kind of tough, but if you want to be better, you got to keep that same energy. Got to keep that same energy. So let me give you a bird's eye view into the mind of a person that has integrity and that does keep or wants to keep the same energy. Let me show you the thought process that we should have. It comes from out of Job chapter 31, verse 1 through 6. Now, before you get and start putting your hand over your mouth because you yawn, let me give you the prelude to this. Job also had drama in his life. At the writing or at the utterance of this scripture, he had lost several children. He lost his home. He lost his finances. He had friends that were pulling him down, people that saying that he deserved it. Amen. His wife, or let me put the spouse in there, because it could be the husband could keep the wife from serving God properly, and the wife could keep the husband from serving God properly. Okay. But yeah, you want a ring on it. All right. Very okay. So if there's a spouse that's in there, then look at what's happening here. His spouse said, "I don't want you to be a part of God. Curse God and die, because he ain't did nothing for us anyway." So that means that if you're going through a similar situation right now, let me show you the mindset of what you should have as you're going through. Job chapter 31, verse 1 through 6 says, "I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman?" His wife said, "Curse God and die." So his default was, "Well, let me go ahead and see if I should start looking at something else." But he says, "I have a covenant with my eyes. I have an agreement to not do that because I'm going through a hard time with you, sweetie pie." I heard a roach in the corner pass gas because it's quiet in here. Quiet in here. But things like this are necessary because it helps us be strong through the summer. It helps us keep that same energy. We don't want to just be a big church. We want to be a strong church, a healthy one. Verse 2 says, "For what is the allotment of God from above?" This is his mind, right? He's having a conversation with himself. "And the inheritance from the Almighty on high." So he's thinking about it. "Is it not destruction for the wicked and disaster for the workers of iniquity? Does he not see my ways and count all my steps?" His sovereignty and his judgment. "If I have walked in falsehood, or if my foot has hastened to deceit, let me be weighted on honest scales, that God may know my integrity." Integrity. In other words, Job, throughout his entire process, he was keeping the same energy, even though certain times he was getting weak. He began to question God, but at least he questioned God. Some people don't even question God. They just push away from God. "I'm trying to help you." So yes, this man was going through a lot. But he began to consider in his own mind, "Man, what would it be like to just push away from God? He orders my steps. He sees my ways. I'm not going to turn to the left or to the right. I want to keep it 100. And if I do trip, may God judge me." Man, that's a lot of integrity there. In other words, I want to get what I deserve. And usually when God sees that, he doesn't give you what you deserve. He extends grace when you see that you are wrong. When you see that you are wrong, man, oh man, God can work with that. He can work with that. You see, people of God, when the people of the world look at us, they are looking for that same energy. Even in disagreement, not everybody agrees with a woman's right to choose, or pro-life, or pro-choice. Not everybody agrees with same-sex marriage, or having different types of alternative relationships, or transgender people. People don't all agree with that. However, if you are a Christian, it's important that you hold up a standard. Not your standard, God's standard. And guess what? You're going to get flack for it. You're going to get dirty looks. You're going to get people that feel some kind of way. You're going to get some skipped attendance, preachers. But there's one thing that will protect you. If you have been consistent over the years of your preaching and teaching and the way that you've carried yourself, people are going to be like, "Man, that's how he's always been. He's always kept that same standard. He's always, or she's always kept that same energy." You know where he stands. And usually there'll be a quick flash of aggression and then they'll fall back. You know where the problem is? The problem is when people see and catch you on video saying one thing and then doing another and then playing it back to dilute your entire witness. That's what happens during every single political season. They'll have you voting for it before you voted against it. And did you know that if one Christian says that they believe in X and another one says that they believe in Y, when God said Z, that's confusing? You call yourself Christians, and I see the word right here. So how come this particular Christian says that they believe it and this other Christian says that they don't? I had this one particular Christian that was more influenced by the political system, and then another Christian who really had the heart of God says, are you really saved? The sinners flocked to the one that was compromising. But the one that really stood out to God's true people was the one that held the standard. I hope you saw that revelation. As a Christian, when you begin to compromise your faith, guess who gravitates towards you? All your unsaved relatives, all of your unsaved co-workers, they feel comfortable in your hypocrisy. Lord, have mercy. Now this, let me help you. This doesn't mean that you have to be perfect. You can have a moment or moments. You could be going through a tough time in life, but you got to be like Job. You got to bring it to God, flaws and all. That's what David should have done. If David would have said, God, I have sinned in your sight, and I've done wrong in your sight. I repent today. Yes, there will be some consequences, but they would not have been so severe if he would not have just admitted it. He never admitted it. Remember, we are not the standard of integrity. So that gives away the whole argument of, well, I'm just not perfect. That's an excuse. Don't use it anymore. None of us are perfect. But we do know one who is. And that's Jesus Christ. He is the perfect example. Matter of fact, people of God, even as I come around the mountain here, look at how Jesus handled those who did not keep the same energy. So this is how Jesus taught the people who said one thing and did another, who were being passive aggressive, who said that they would do something and didn't say that they wouldn't do it, they just said nothing. Ooh, Lord have mercy. Passive aggressive, you hear me say that a long time. For those of you that don't understand what that means, passive aggressiveness is when on the outside you said you will do it, but on the inside you're like, no, I ain't gonna do it. It's like those kids when they say clean their room. You know what passive aggressive behavior is? Passive aggressive behavior is when they know that you're authority in the household and they know that they're going to have to clean up the room, but they go so slow in hopes that you forget about it. Guess what? Those same children turn into adults. And those adults sometimes will be so slow when it comes to the things of God because they really don't want to do it in hopes that you'll forget about it. And then when it comes to your promotion, guess what God will remember? He'll say, you were so slow with it, I guess I'm going to be slow too. I'm going to take my time too. You don't need it. You're not desperate for it. And then when you get into a pickle, then you start doing stuff really fast. Well, I'm going to praise God. I'm going to worship him. I'm going to be here at 10:30, 25 a.m. I'm just going to, I got it then. I'm on fire for God. But God is saying you should keep that same energy. Look at what Jesus said about this in Luke chapter 11, verse 37 through 44. Verse 37 says, and as he spoke, a certain Pharisee asked him to dine with them. So Jesus had no problem. So he went in and sat down and eat. When the Pharisees saw it, another one, he marveled, was surprised that he had not first washed before dinner. Now, for some of you, that's cool. But we're talking about ancient Israel. And we're talking about God himself sitting down at the table. And whatever he calls clean is going to be clean. And he ain't going to die. So that's the proper context. Don't bring it into your current context with your little hand sanitizer. Wrong context. Verse 39 says, then the Lord said to him, now you Pharisees make the outside of the cup and dish clean, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness. Foolish ones, did not he who make the outside make the inside also? But rather give alms of such things. Give it away, such things as you have. Then indeed, all things are clean to you. But woe to you, Pharisees, church folk, people who attend but don't even act like they are attentive. For you tithe, that's where you find tithing in the New Testament, mint and rue and all manners of herbs, and pass by justice and love God. And pass by justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Oh, Lord have mercy. So all my New Testament scholars in here that be talking about tithing and giving, it's not really talking about the substance. Here's the thing. There is no law against tithing, and there's no law against giving. God never said stop giving. Nowhere in Scripture. He was just saying your motivation needs to change. And he saw that their motivation for giving was more so to be seen than for the good of others. So he says, yes, you tithe, mint, rue, and all manners of herbs, and pass by justice and the love of God. You know what sometimes young Christians see? Millennials and even younger than that generation see when they see somebody being on fire against abortion, but then when you see a black man getting shot in the street, you're silent. Keep that same energy. You feel me? Oh, I would like to welcome you to Divine Truth, Christian Center, where God wants your dreams and visions. Realize. See, if you're on fire for one, you should be on fire for it all. But I'm not talking about all of the things in the Bible. I'm talking about having integrity. Because Jesus is our example. If Jesus was faced with these issues today, a lot of things he would stay silent on when it comes to the world. He would just be his own example. Yes, they have their laws, they have their statutes, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. And here's a choice. Serve God or serve man. Vote for who you want to. But as for me, when you go to heaven or hell, you remember my face. Govern yourselves accordingly. Verse 43 says, woe to you Pharisees, for you love the best seats in the church and greetings in the marketplaces. You like to be, I've never seen so many pastoral celebrities. Why would you want to be a celebrity and a pastor at the same time? It's like if the church goes to 1,000 people by the time that we're in my 50s and things of that nature. And I, as a result of getting all the new attention, I forget that God was the one who got us to that particular point. And I begin to lose sight. And then I start getting dragged into the world's way of doing things. And in order to keep their attention, I'm going to have to start bending my standards because I love what I am getting from them because our church people didn't give me the same thing. That's what happens with the allure of power and status and stature. People lose their integrity over time. And then what will happen is that same group of people will play one of your old tapes, one of your old videos when you spoke against X, Y, and Z and use it against you just to destroy it. Now, if you would have kept that same energy all throughout, I haven't had a leg to stand on. They'll come after you, but they won't be able to use you against you. That's what hypocrisy is. Use you against you. Parents, your children use you against you. Amen. They're not trying to be manipulative. If they see you doing one thing, but then you're doing another, and then they start doing the same behavior as you, why are you going to give them a whooping? Keep that same energy. Keep that same energy. you know, you want them to choose a good mate and be faithful and things like that, because you want to see them get married, but you got a bunch of people running in and out of the house. So what example are you setting? And then they'll say, well, you do it, and then you want to slap them in the mouth or pop them in the mouth. They're a mirror of you. So if you're going to do it, keep that same energy. Amen. Can you wake both of them up? I don't want y'all sleeping in church today. But wake him up in the middle. I love him. Touch him right there. Yes, touch him. There you go. I wait until his head shifts forward. There you go. No sleeping in church. Wake up. I love you. I'm keeping the same energy. So does keeping the same energy mean being perfect? No, it means being consistent in the things of God, especially when God is the last thing on your mind. Oh, you missed it. Keeping the same energy does not mean being perfect. I am not perfect. So that does not mean that you're always going to do things right. That's not what Pastor Martin is saying. You're not going to always do things right. You're not going to always listen. You're not always going to be the best spouse. You're not always going to be the best worker. You're not going to always be the best boss. You're not going to always be the best wife or be the best child. However, albeit notwithstanding in my dad's voice, you can still be consistent in the things of God. In other words, when you mess up, you do it in the presence of God and you acknowledge God as you're messing up. It means that you have integrity. Integrity means you own it. That's what I mean. You own it. You own it. Hey, cussing Christians, let me tell y'all something. Even if you use acronyms, everybody knows that you're not saying what the fudge. Guess what? The unsaved people, when they see that, and when you let it slip out online, they use it against you as another reason why they don't need to come here. Because it ain't working for you. It ain't doing nothing in your life. So all they're saying is like, bruh, keep the same energy, and you will find out that when your unsaved coworker, unsaved family member, neighbor, whoever it is, if they see that consistency in your life, they may still not come to church, but they'll speak highly of you. At the end of it all, they'll still speak highly of you. They won't be able to play back the video of you doing one thing and then eliminating what you're doing right now. Keep that same energy. So as we set the bar, God wants us to do this through sincerity and godly conduct. Come on, Al or Dion or whoever it is. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 4 through 12, it says, but as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. Do you not realize that when I preach, I try to do the best that I can to keep the same energy? If I compromised and start doing a little prosperity gospel and start promising y'all that you'll be blessed with cars, houses, and land, if you sow even more, then this church will be overflowing with people that want to speak things into existence. And I'll be no better than Reverend Ike or Oprah, or some of the other compromising preachers that are out here that are trying to get more people to come in when that isn't the case. So the truth of the matter is that the people of God need to keep the same energy. They need to keep it 100. They need to make sure that they stay and have great integrity when it comes to the things of God and the people of God. So it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4 through 12, but as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak for covetousness. God is the witness. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands on apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you. Just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children, so affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only for the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil, laboring day and night, that we might not be a burden to any of you. We preach to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behave ourselves among you who believe. So what you see right here is that not only are you to believe and to have integrity around sinners, but you're also supposed to have integrity around the people of God. Because there's nothing more discouraging than seeing a person that is supposed to be on fire for God among the people of God start taking a whole step backwards. That's why you being here is important. Did you know that when you're here in the house of the Lord, it's encouraging to the person that is sitting next to you? Did you know that it's encouraging even to your pastor to see your face? Yeah, you with all your problems, it's still encouraging. Because my mission is to bring people closer to God, that you have a closer relationship with God, that you get out of the situation that you're in, or at least have enough strength to go through the situation that you're in. That's what my job is. And so when you're here listening, that means that even if you don't get it, you'll get it eventually. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of the Lord. That's why I want you here. That's why I want you to keep that same energy in your attendance. And guess what? Even if you don't come here on a Sunday, wherever you're at, you don't need to act like a slap monkey. You don't need to do that. You don't need to act unsaved once you get out of the house of the Lord among other people who are not saved. They won't see any differences. If you're at the table and you know that you're saved and everybody is doing beer pong or doing some wild stuff, you being at peace and still smiling without indulging in what they're indulging in will do one of two things. It'll make them feel uncomfortable and one of the people will start teasing you. Or that'll make somebody begin to think about things a lot differently. And that's very important. I don't want people to feel uncomfortable around me, but I want you to feel uncomfortable around. We got young people today that don't give a flip. But if you keep the same energy around them, they'll look at what you're doing and be like, wow. Yeah, you boring. Yeah, you don't be doing all this other stuff like that. But guess what? I'm still here. I'm still here. And you will be too. Father, we thank you. We honor you. Let us keep our integrity. Let us hold our character high. Let us not be one way behind closed doors and then another way in front of people. Let us not get upset when people hold our feet to the fire that love us, that want to see a better version of ourselves. Let us be able to move forward in things of God and the people of God. We thank you and we honor you and we love you. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, stand to your feet. I forgot to tell you that. Hallelujah. Okay. Amen. At this moment in time, I have to do one little house cleaning tip. We did better today in regards to our giving. Much better, but we're still $400 short because last week, did you cut the cameras? Okay. Last week, it wasn't where we needed for it to be at. All right. This is an in-house discussion because truthfully, from what I've seen,